This is VOA News, VOA Remote. I'm Laurel Bowman. U.S. military forces rescued an American citizen in Nigeria, the Pentagon said on Saturday, days after he was kidnapped by gunmen in the south of neighboring Niger and apparently taken across the border. The hostage, Philip Walton, was abducted Monday night on the outskirts of a village about 10 kilometers from the border with Nigeria. Walton is safe in the care of the U.S. State Department, the Pentagon said in a statement. U.S. forces did not suffer any casualties in the rescue operation, it added. Niger's defense minister had earlier confirmed the hostage release to media without giving details about how he had been freed. Local officials had said this week that the kidnappers had called the man's father to demand a ransom, though the family did not confirm this. French police are trying to learn if a young Tunisian suspected of stabbing to death three people in a knife rampage in a Nice church had outside help as they arrest another man believed to have contacted him in the run-up to the killings. Georgians vote in tightly contested parliamentary elections, pitting an unlikely union of opposition forces against the increasingly unpopular ruling party led by Georgia's richest man. Slovakia begins a program to screen its entire population for coronavirus in what would be a global first, but critics say the plan is not thoroughly thought out. More than 200,000 people in the Philippines are ordered to evacuate their homes as the most powerful typhoon of the year so far barrels toward the country, with authorities warning of destructive winds and storm surges. The United States hit a record number of new coronavirus infections for the second day running, with over 94,000 cases. This comes just days before voters decide if Donald Trump will stay. This is VOA News. Ivory Coast President Alassane Ouattara on Saturday called on his opponents to stop a campaign of civil disobedience over his bid for a third term in an election. As the president cast his vote, he urged those calling for civil disobedience to stop these criminal acts, and he told young people not to let themselves be manipulated. Ivory Coast citizens went to the polls Saturday, with some opposition supporters trying to disrupt the vote. Rival candidates of the president have called for a boycott. The vote is seen as a test of stability in Ivory Coast, which is the world's top cocoa producer and has one of Africa's fastest growing economies. Clashes related to the elections have killed 30 people since August and brought back memories of the 2010 election when the incumbent president won. But a brief civil war ensued, which killed 3,000 people when Ouattara's predecessor would not step down. Ouattara's opponent says he is now breaking the law by running again for president because the Constitution limits him to two terms, but he says he can run again under a new constitution approved in 2016 and is doing so only because his handpicked successor died unexpectedly in July. Ouattara is seen as likely to win. French President Emmanuel Macron expressed understanding that cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad could shock Muslims, but said that this could never be used to justify violence. Mr. Macron was speaking in an interview with Al Jazeera, broadcast on Saturday. He said, quote, "I can understand that people could be shocked by the caricatures, but I will never accept that violence can be justified." The French president spoke in the wake of the killing of three people inside a Nice church by a suspected Islamist radical. And legendary British actor Sean Connery, best known for playing fictional spy James Bond in seven films, has died at the age of 90, his family told media Saturday. The Scottish actor, who was knighted in 2000, won numerous awards during his decades-spanning career, including an Oscar, three Golden Globes, and two BAFTA Awards. Tributes immediately began pouring in for Connery, who was considered one of the greatest movie stars of his generation. Connery claimed his Oscar in 1988 for Best Supporting Actor for his role as an Irish cop in The Untouchables. He also starred in The Hunt for Red October, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, and The Rock 2. For more on these and other stories making headlines, we invite you to visit our website at voanews.com. Via remote, Laurel Bowman, VOA News.
Good evening and welcome to Nightline Africa. We are coming to you from the English service of the Voice of America. Thanks for joining us. I'm Peter Clotty in Washington, D.C.
Why people are turning a blind sight on that? So, if you do nothing, if you let Mr. Ouattara unchallenged, you will set the precedent dangerous for West Africa.
Ivorians decide in an election whether to extend President Alassane Ouattara's third term bid Saturday.
Situation where there's impunity, what you will see is situations where people pour on the streets protesting against them. All forms of rights violations. So we are joining our voice with the voice of the MBA and other CSOs that are saying the same thing. There must be accountability as quickly as possible.
The Nigerian Inspector General of Police, Mohammed Adamu, is disputing an Amnesty International report about violence during the recent protests.
This is a calculated, calibrated move to autocracy and one-party rule, and it simply has to be resisted by all right-minded people in Tanzania who want democracy and who want to abide by Commonwealth principles and who want to see Africa with a future.
And an attorney for Tundu Lissu, the presidential candidate for Tanzania's main opposition party, Chadema, is calling for a list of all political violence against opponents of the administration to present as evidence to the International Criminal Court, ICC. Those stories and more coming up on Nightline Africa. In Ivory Coast, the opposition Democratic Party of Côte d'Ivoire, African Democratic Rally, or PDCIRDA, says incumbent President Alassane Ouattara ceases to be the president of the West African country after Saturday, October 31. This, despite the president's decision to seek a third term in Saturday's polls. That's when voters decide whether to re-elect the incumbent president for a third term. But the opposition party joined other opposition and civil society groups to condemn the poll as illegitimate. It argues that the constitution bars the president from seeking a third term in office after serving two full-year terms. The PDCIRDA is calling for a national dialogue to prevent President Alassane Ouattara from being sworn in for a third term. Ambassador Joseph Yusufu Bamba is an Ivorian career diplomat and a former permanent representative of Ivory Coast to the UN. He tells me that supporters of civil society and opposition parties plan to take to the streets to protest what he says is a sham election.
Given the condition you are at hand right now, my party, as well as the whole opposition party, as well as the larger majority of the Ivorian population, think that the conditions are not proper to hold free, fair, credible, inclusive election. Why? Because, first of all, Mr. Ouattara himself is not allowed to run. He has already completed his two term of office according to the constitution, and we want to reinforce our democracy, so we have to abide by the law. Nobody is above the law. The Electoral Commission, as a referee for an empire, if you will, imagine all the 600 persons composing that electoral body has been provided by the ruling party. How would you, in such condition, there could be, if you will, impartial?
Some people are saying that the elections will be held as is being held on Saturday. President Alassane Ouattara will be declared president of Ivory Coast. Then what's next for your party?
But he will have no legitimacy. We will not recognize him as president. After the 31st of October, Mr. Ouattara is no longer the president of Cote d'Ivoire. That's something so obvious.
Is your party anticipating there could be possible violence since some of your members, I heard, will be protesting in the streets?
Yes, of course. So far, we have the death toll is claims 70 deaths and counting. We go to civil disobedience, and there is some hijack of the election by Mr. Ouattara and his party. The people say no. The people say the law should be upheld. And not to mention that this election is rigged in advance, is rigged from A to Z. The Constitutional Council, which has validated its illegal candidacy, is not credible at all. The opposition has asked for international audit to be carried out on the electoral list before the going in election. And not to mention another fact very important, the African Court on Human Rights and People has issued 3 ordinances which should be executed by the state of Côte d'Ivoire, the government of Côte d'Ivoire, before any election be held. How will you, in such condition, we go to some election? That's why the people of Côte d'Ivoire were united and said, we stand up and we say no, not to this hold-up, not to this hijack, not to this forfeiture. So we will resist until the last. But first of all, our position is Mr. Ouattara's candidacy should be withdrawn. That is non-negotiable.
Are you therefore saying that your party and other civil society groups and opposition groups are not going to accept the result of Saturday's election?
It's not an election, it's a mock election. How could we live with that? It's not election. That's mock election, election written in advance. We are the reason wisdom suggests that you have to look at the matter. The root cause are there. As are the root cause of the problem, the crisis are laid bare. Why people are turning a blind sight on that? So if you do nothing, if you leave Mr. Ouattara unchallenged, you will set a precedent dangerous for West Africa.
The ECOWAS and the African Union, and as well as some international poll observers, are in Ivory Coast to monitor Saturday's elections. Former South African President Thabo Mbeki is not happy that the AU sent poll monitors and is saying President Ouattara is disqualified. What do you say to his pronouncement?
I totally agree what he said, because that's the truth. That's the wise way to assess the situation. I totally concur with Mr. President Thabo Mbeki, because he said the truth. He's the first person placed to give the advices we know we need to have a honorable exit from that crisis. That's what I could say right now.
Ambassador Joseph Yusufu Bamba is an Ivorian career diplomat and a former permanent representative of Ivory Coast to the UN. He spoke with me from New York here in the U.S. In Nigeria, the Inspector General of Police, Mohammedu Adamu, is disputing a report by Amnesty International about violence allegedly carried out by the police during recent protests. The Chief of Police maintains that the officers acted professionally while exercising what he described as commendable restraint during the protests, some of which turned violent. He also said the police officers used appropriate force as part of the measures to ensure the protests were carried out peacefully. In its report, Amnesty International said the police officers shot at peaceful protesters in parts of the country. But in a sharp denial, the spokesman for the police, Frank Imba, said the report was untrue, misleading, and contrary to available empirical evidence. The youth protesters demanded more inclusion in the country's politics and an end to police brutality, including extrajudicial killings. Sheun Bakari is the program's manager for Amnesty International in Nigeria. He tells me that Nigerians want accountability, adding that those responsible for carrying out the violence should be prosecuted with the full force of the law.
Amnesty International speaks on behalf of victims. Amnesty International does not generate fact, does not cook up figures. Amnesty International listens to information or takes information that it gets from witnesses, from victims, from family members of victims, and then triangulates this information, verifies this information, and puts it out in its report. So if what the Inspector General of Police is saying is different from what we have put out, it is because we have put out what we were told and what we were able to verify. And the information may be different, but you see, the question is, who has something to hide? And what we have seen happening around the country in the last few weeks have shown that the authorities are interested in hiding a few things.
Well, Sheung, the police force, in a statement, described your report as untrue, misleading, and contrary to available empirical evidence.
It's not the first time that the authorities would dispute what we have put out. Every time we put out a report, the authorities have a reason to say that, yes, this information is not true. And many times in the past, in fact, almost every time, it has turned out that we were the ones that said the truth. And in this same situation, too, in this particular circumstance, it's going to become obvious to Nigerians that the authorities are the ones who have had something to hide and who have been claiming otherwise, as against what truly happened all around the country during the course of this protest. People were killed, excessive force were used against protesters, and some of these things have been captured on video, and eyewitness accounts have shown that all that we saw on those videos, that even Amnesty International has used its technology to verify, are absolutely true. It is the authorities that are saying what is not true. The information from victims, from eyewitnesses, from people who were there when these events took place, is completely different from what the police is saying.
A spokesman of the Nigerian president, Femi Adesina, is on record to have said that Amnesty International does not run Nigeria. And he echoed similar sentiment from the IGP that you cherry-pick information just to make the government look bad. Is that what your organization is doing?
Amnesty International obviously does not run this country. If we run this country, there would be no cover-up when people have been unjustly killed. Amnesty International does not run this country. If we run this country, there would be a reign of respect for human rights. And that's what we are asking the authorities to do. We live in a country where we must ensure that people's rights are protected. And that's the country that we want to see as an organization. We want a country that understands that it has obligations under all of the international human rights standards that it has acceded to, and a country that works for everybody.
The Nigerian Bar Association and other civil society groups, some opposition groups, have also come in calling for a swift investigation and prosecution of those who gave the orders for the shooting during the peaceful protest, which in some instances turned violent. What is the position of Amnesty International?
Amnesty International has called and continues to call for the same thing that the Nigerian Bar Association and these other CSOs are calling for. We want to see accountability. For many years, we have put out reports on police brutality. We have put out many reports on this special anti-robbery squad. And we have said that the reason why this body, this unit of the Nigeria police, continues to violate rights is because there is no accountability. It's because impunity reigns supreme. And so what the Nigerian Bar Association and other CSOs are saying is what we have said for so long: let there be accountability. Officers who have been found to have violated people's rights must be brought to book. Perpetrators must be identified, investigated, and prosecuted. If we don't have a country where citizens or people in the country believe that if there are right violations, there will be some kind of redress, then what we have is a situation where impunity reigns supreme. And of course, the situation where there's impunity, what you will see is situations where people pour on the streets protesting against them all forms of rights violations. So we are joining our voice with the voice of the MBA and other CSOs that are saying the same thing. There must be accountability as quickly as possible.
Sheung Bakare is the programs manager for Amnesty International in Nigeria. He spoke with me from the capital, Abuja. An attorney for Tundu Lissu, the presidential candidate for Tanzania's main opposition party, Chadema, is calling for a list of all politically related violence during the recent electoral process. Robert Amsterdam says a compilation of the evidence will enable him to present a case to the International Criminal Court, or ICC, over election-related violence during the Tanzanian elections. He says any top official involved in the violence meted out to political opponents should be made to face the full force of the law. His remarks come after opposition groups condemned the arrest and subsequent release of opposition supporters. This after they expressed concern that the elections were fraught with voter irregularities and rigging. Robert Amsterdam tells me that the polls are not credible.
Well, firstly, it's not just the police or the army. We are targeting President Magufuli and the men around him. The obvious rigging And the sheer incompetence of the authorities in rigging the way they have to the point where we've got many phony ballots, phony IDs, phony calculations of voters, to the point that the U.S. Embassy itself has made comments about the inadequacy of the vote. So we are blessed by the incompetence of the authorities. And, you know, unfortunately, that incompetence is also reflected in the violence of all sectors of the Tanzanian government, which are all controlled by a cabal within the CCM, a cabal that we intend to have sanctioned, a cabal that we intend to take to the ICC.
Mr. Amsterdam, are you therefore saying the violence that has been reported across parts of the country is sanctioned or orchestrated by people in the high echelons of government in the mainland Tanzania and in Zanzibar?
I want to be very clear about that. Absolutely. This is an orchestrated campaign, including, by the way, the Electoral Commission, who are nothing more than some ZCM hacks who are insistent on turning Tanzania into Zimbabwe. And if the people do not address this phony election now, it sets a dangerous precedent for East Africa. And I can assure you that Tanzania would be well on its way to a dictatorship. I mean, there is absolutely no truth to the electoral results. I mean, experts are laughing at the incompetence of the rigging that's gone on.
Some CCM supporters that I spoke with are denying that there was any rigging going on and that Tanzanians went to the poll to re-elect President Magufuli because of what he has been able to achieve. They trust him, and that is why they overwhelmingly voted for him and CCM representatives across board. How do you react to that?
I mean, that's just a joke. Amnesty International is not on anybody's side in this. And they published a report a few weeks ago called Lawfare that talked about how CCM has spent its time investing in all sorts of new laws to try to stay in power. Let me assure you of one thing. I've been doing this kind of stuff for 40 years. If you've got a popular government, if you've achieved a 95% voting approval rate, you don't cut off the internet. They've cut off the internet because they're engaging in a massive fraud. And, you know, those people who support the CCM are people who economically benefit from it. But I'll tell you, an honest government doesn't put forth the laws they've put forth, doesn't allow their own people, their own citizens to be targeted by insane levels of violence. I mean, it just doesn't happen. I mean, the proof is in the pudding. That's why you shut down the internet, my friend, because you've got something to hide.
I understand you are compiling this evidence to present to the International Criminal Court for investigation and perhaps prosecution. Do you think you will meet the threshold for the International Criminal Court to take up this case?
You know, quite honestly, I've learned very well that I don't, you know, put percentages on the table. I will tell you that the CCM are completely insecure about their control of Tanzania. They were insecure before the election. Mr. Lissu did not accidentally receive 16 bullets in his body. That was orchestrated by political opponents. Mr. Magufuli didn't just decide at the last minute to get the telephone companies to shut off any communication involving Mr. Lissu's name. He didn't at the last minute draft 20 different laws to try to shut off freedom of expression in Tanzania. This is a calculated, calibrated move to autocracy and one-party rule, and it simply has to be resisted by all right-minded people in Tanzania who want democracy and who want to abide by Commonwealth principles and who want to see Africa with a future.
Robert Amsterdam is an attorney for Tundu Lissu, the presidential candidate for Tanzania's main opposition party, Chadema. He spoke with me from the British capital, London. The leader of Zambia's opposition National Democratic Congress, or NDC, says he is qualified to contest as a presidential candidate in next year's general election. This after Chishimba Kambwili was recently jailed after being found guilty of forgery issuing a false document and giving false information to a public officer. He maintains that he did nothing wrong. He argues that the charges against him are politically motivated, which he contends indicates a clear case of persecution. But supporters of the government deny the accusations as false. For more reaction about the legal challenges he faces, I reach Chishimba Kambwili, leader of the Zambia's opposition National Democratic Congress, or NDC, in the capital, Lusaka.
What is happening in Zambia is something that needs international community attention. Otherwise, Zambia is now degenerating into a dictatorship. Since I left government and formed my own political party, I've been persecuted. I have been taken to court on 7 trumped-up charges. And the one where they sent me to prison was where they said I was signing on behalf of my son on one of his companies. And I had the power of attorney for my son because at the time he was in England in school. And I was signing on the documents based on the power of attorney. And that's the reason why they sent me to prison. So it's just a fictitious and trumped up charge. But the only thing is that they want to intimidate me to stop speaking for the people of Zambia. But I vowed never, never, ever to be intimidated. If it means dying for the people of Zambia, I'm ready to do that. Because we cannot allow in this time and age for people to be dictators. Zambia chose to be a democracy and we have to uphold the democratic tenets.
Some people are of the opinion that the mere fact that you have been in prison means that your chances of challenging President Edgar Lungu in next year's election goes away and that you will not be eligible to participate in next year's election. What do you say to that?
That's really what they wanted, but the law is very clear. The law says anybody who has been convicted and served or serving a 3-year term sentence cannot run for president. At the moment, I was jailed for 1 year in prison and I'm on bail. I am not serving any jail sentence, therefore I'm eligible to stand.
Why did you say that it is their intention that you will be prevented from running the election? Because some supporters of the Patriotic Front, the ruling party, are saying that the judicial system is working and it shows independence without any influence from the party or from the government. So this accusation, they said, it's neither here nor there. And it's
that's the greatest joke of the year. Have you ever seen in your whole life, Peter, where a magistrate or a judge presiding on your matter has been dragged to court by yourself, has been reported to the Anti-Corruption Commission for trying to extort money from you to give you a favorable ruling? He has been dragged to the Judicial Complaints Authority and no action has been taken. Can you call that a free and fair trial? Can you call that having no government interference? All my trial is politically motivated and there was government interference throughout. The behavior of the magistrate during trial is nothing to write home about, and it's in black and white that the man acted under influence. This is a magistrate that, when PF was in opposition, jailed Dr. Fred Membe. And when PF formed government, he went to Mr. Membe to plead that, forgive me, I was only told by the government to jail you. I did not jail you because of the offense that you committed, but I was just instructed to jail you. So the same way that he did to Mr. Membe is the same way that he has been used by the PF against me.
Some people are saying that you committed an offense and you are paying the consequences of it, and that blaming political machinations or political calculations into your legal troubles is an indication that you are failing to accept responsibility for flouting the law. How do you respond to that?
My brother, I'm a law-abiding citizen. I've never committed an offense. I've lived a very clean life all my life. And if really I committed an offense of signing on behalf of my son, it is my son who's supposed to complain. Is it the government who's supposed to complain? If you sign on behalf of your son must complain that he has been defrauded. But my son has never complained because he gave me the power of attorney. This is just a case of political persecution, and they cannot intimidate me.
What is next for you in this legal tussle?
We have done an appeal. We have appealed to the High Court of Zambia, and we are waiting for the appeal to be heard. In the meantime, I'm out on bail, pending appeal.
Chishimba Kambwili is the leader of the Zambian Opposition National Democratic Congress, or NDC. He spoke with me from the capital, Lusaka. And you are listening to Nightline Africa on the English service of The Voice of America. I'm your host, Peter Clotte, in Washington, D.C. And coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa, the Saturday music spot from our collection of music from the continent. But first, in Uganda, the authorities have banned the National Election Watch, a group comprising a loose coalition of civil society and NGOs, from monitoring next year's general election. In an announcement, the National Bureau for Non-Governmental Organizations declared the group illegal, saying it has not officially registered to operate in the East African country. The authorities demanded the umbrella group stops all activities, including plans by members of the coalition to monitor the elections. But leaders of the group and opponents of the administration say this is yet another attempt by the government to use state institutions to intimidate, harass, and prevent independent groups from monitoring the elections. But supporters of the ruling party, the National Resistance Movement, or NRM, reject the criticisms as without merit. They condemn the National Election Watch for failing to abide by the country's laws governing NGOs. Xavier Ejoyi is the country director, Action Aid Uganda, and a major proponent of the National Election Watch. I reached him for reaction about the ban of the election monitoring group.
Two things that I need to bring out. Number one is that there is no express requirement in the NGO law of, as amended in 2016, that coalitions should be registered and therefore to be able to bring organizations together. The second thing that I want to say relating to the law is that as per Section 16 of the Electoral Commission Act, the commission may at any election accredit any individual, group, or institution to act as election observer. So there is also no requirement from the Electoral Commission to say that by necessity, those who are observing elections must be registered institutions or NGOs. Indeed, from 2000, NGOs have been coming together, including after the last election, as coalitions to observe the elections on different platforms, names, and so on. Therefore, New You was just an umbrella, or if you like, a brand for bringing organizations together to observe elections. Otherwise, the organizations that want to observe elections are registered and accredited by the Electoral Commission specifically for that purpose.
Xavier, now that the authorities have come out basically banning the group, stating that it is illegal, what will be your next line of action?
The banning really does not have an effect, because observation of elections, the different members of the NGO fraternity that want to observe, or individuals, have to register. And there are a number of the organizations that comprised or came together under this loose coalition that already accredited by the Electoral Commission. Others are in the process of being, have applied for accreditation and are being considered for accreditation by the Electoral Commission. And so if the National Bureau of NGO is concerned about that umbrella, which was a brand, certainly it does not affect the work of the individual organizations that are registered to observe elections. That assignment will continue, but it does not also stop these NGOs from collaborating, sharing expertise, which is the basis for the coalition or the loose coalition in the first place.
Some Ugandans are expressing concern that this is yet another attempt by the authorities to prevent the monitoring of elections, because opposition groups have said that there's a high possibility that the elections could be rigged. What do you say to that?
Yeah, certainly the Ugandans are concerned, and rightly so, about the patterns of repressive legislation and actions of state authorities, some of which are arbitrary, relating to how they enforce regulations around elections in the period and the political processes generally. And that is something that is of concern. And the patterns are very clear. The patterns are not just around elections. The patterns around citizen participation in issues of governance, in politics, in Uganda's nascent democracy has shown that the state agencies seem to either act in a partisan way or perceived to act in a partisan way, or they are high-handed against citizens' right to express themselves, associate, and also participate in political processes. And so that is a legitimate concern that we thought as civil society, by coming together and observing elections, that we would provide assurance to different participants, including political parties and organizations.
Do you anticipate that the Electoral Commission will be impartial and will organize free, fair, transparent, and credible elections next year?
It is my expectation, of course, as a Ugandan, that the Electoral Commission will administer its mandate in accordance with the law and as professional election managers, that they will act fairly to all candidates. But as I said, the election management is a broad mandate for different institutions, and not just Electoral Commission. It involves security agencies, they have a role. It involves political parties, it involves those who adjudicate when there are disputes. It involves also the actions of political parties and so on.
Xavier Ejoyi is the country director, Action Aid Uganda. He spoke with me from the capital, Kampala. Critics say Zimbabwe's government moves to regulate social media platforms is a further attack on free expression in a country with shrinking civic space. For VOA, Kudzai's Vanavashi has more from the Zimbabwean capital, Harare.
Home Affairs Minister Kazembe Kazembe recently announced that crimes on social media were among those government was focusing on, along with fake news.
The government of the Republic of Zimbabwe would like to update citizens on the general security situation in the country, as well as some issues of concern to the law enforcement agencies. Issues which remain high on the law enforcement agenda are violent crime, corruption, abuse of social and other media, as well as the scourge of fake reportage.
Kumbirai Mafunda, with the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights, says there has been an increase in cases of people arrested for social media violations.
In Zimbabwe, since the government posed the national lockdown, we have seen and recorded in Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights a significant increase in the number of people arrested for allegedly committing offenses linked to their activities on social media platforms. This could be on WhatsApp, this could be on Twitter, this could be on Facebook.
Despite government's keen interest in dissenting voices on social media during the COVID-19 lockdown, social media became a platform for family, friends and colleagues to stay in touch and freely express themselves. Media Institute of Southern Africa's legal officer, Nompilo Simanje, looks at other benefits.
Social media has created a platform for exercise of media freedom and freedom of expression, something that is outside traditional and print media as we were used to. It has also created a platform for access to information for the different citizens and internet users in Zimbabwe.
Mafunda says the recent arrests border on violations of free speech.
Especially on WhatsApp groups, we have seen a number of people being arrested and prosecuted and charged for communicating falsehoods, for insulting the president or undermining the authority of President Mnangagwa. We see this as part of government, this intolerance of dissent and or opposing views, because the people who are being targeted are perceived to be enemies, either enemies of the government or enemies of the ZANU-PF party. And this just confirms that the government of President Mnangagwa has an unending appetite to stop people from exercising their fundamental freedoms and rights, which include freedom of expression.
A cyber bill under consideration would give the government more power to monitor citizens' interactions online and crack down on online dissent. For VOA, this is Kudzai Zvinavashe from Harare.
Conservations are concerned over the poisoning of a critically endangered species of vultures after 55 of the birds were found dead in central Botswana this week. Poachers often poison vultures in a bid to evade detection from authorities. For VOA, Mkodisi Dube reports from the Botswana capital, Habaroni.
The Botswana government reported this week it had discovered 55 dead white-backed vultures due to poisoning. White-backed vultures are classified critically endangered by the International Union for Conservation of Nature. Minister of Environment, Natural Resources, Conservation and Tourism spokesperson Onalena Mukachane said the dead vultures were found in Matikwala village near the Budedi River, which flows from the Okavango Delta. Rising incidents of vulture poisoning are a concern, said Mutsalaganyi Kutsusitse, director of BirdLife Botswana, a non-profit local conservation group.
BirdLife Botswana has been receiving a lot of reports of deaths and vultures across the country. This is very unfortunate, especially that, you know, the numbers of vultures are dwindling across the globe. There is a lot of unreported cases that we are aware of, but are not actually reported. So there's a lot of underreporting taking place with regards to vulture poisoning in Botswana. This is a very serious issue.
Last year, June, the country recorded its highest mass die of vultures, with 537 found dead in the Chobe National Park. Kutsusitse said poachers poison the vultures because they often circle over dead animals, which can alert wildlife rangers to their positions.
Normally, poachers poison carcass to intentionally kill vultures because vultures act as sentinels or indicate to wildlife rangers of potential poaching activities within the reserve or conservation areas. Poachers tend to intentionally bait or lace carcass to kill those vultures to reduce their population so that they cannot be detected or identified by wildlife rangers.
Kutsusitse said farmers also unintentionally poison the vultures when they target predators that kill their livestock. Killing a vulture carries a $500 fine in Botswana, but Kutsusitse says perpetrators are rarely brought to book. For VOA, this is Mkondisi Dube in Habaroni, Botswana.
And right now it's time for music from our African collection.
Ain't nobody talk about the love tonight, yeah. And I pray, say, may nobody quench this fire, yeah. Say so many things that I wish tonight, yeah. And I wanna know if you want to wait till the morning. She say yes to me. She tell me, say she no go lie to me. She tell me, say she no go try cause me. She tell me, say she no go try cause me. Oh, that's you. Money let nobody that's you. Say the money dey my mind, but my love for you pass this life. Oh, whoa, whoa. Why not till morning? No, yeah. Whoa, 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 whoa. Yeah. I been needing your love in the pop, 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 pop. Yeah, go pop, 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 pop. Girl, show your mercy, girl, on me so. Whoa, whoa. Love you know, pop, 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 pop. Check up, pop, 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 pop. She tell me when you leave, come back. She said nobody make a move like that. She said she want it from the night to the morning. I'm holding you face down when I push down back. Say I didn't give you what you need and you know it. Ain't nobody touch like that. She said nobody give her loving like that. She said she want me tonight, that's fine. She said yes to me. She told me, said she no go lie to me. She told me, said she no go try cause me. She told me, said she no go try cause me. Oh, that's you. Money, let nobody that's you.
feel the money in my mind. But my love for you fans is life, oh, whoa, whoa. Why not till morning, no, yeah, whoa, 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 yeah. I've been needing your love in the pop, 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 pop. Yeah, go pop, 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 girl, show your mercy, girl, on me, so, whoa, whoa, yeah. I've been needing your love in the pop, 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 pop. Hola, let's talk sex with him more time. I guarantee you're gonna feel all night. I never knew you could do it like that. Like two peas in a pod, that's right. Counting all of my blessings. See, I got you for my life, they make me thank God. Every day you came into my life. Make all of them go, baby, please, baby. Oh, oh, you know I be one call away. You got me to on, I want some. You got to be burn it up, up. Take it off. I wanna hear you say my name. I say, oh, you been on my mind. I've been needing your love in the pop, 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 pop. Jacko, pop, 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 pop. Girl, show your mercy, girl, on me, so, whoa, whoa, yeah. I've been needing your love in the pop, 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 pop. Jacko, pop, 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 pop.
Kichwa kiufupi mazima, nikiamini wakufa kuzikana, yani horizon.
sio nafu mututi kabisa tamashaka sina kiamini tatengwa na Maulana uvumilivu la mbivu nimengoja mpaka sikaza nambulia maumivu ingani sina kuniposa sijui yangu stamilivu kunyenyekea kuniposa na pambania utulivu mwenzangu chuki unaikoza siku kufuta tu machozi ulipolia ilia na wewe sambona nilipa majonzi yani stressi mapombe mwenyewe wendo wangu Yesu mkombozi sambona Petro unaniacha mwenyewe nikose usingizi na njozi ndo furahi okesa tunataka nituka kuificha sura ongeza marafiki zapado waningonge ata ongeza ongeza pado kisichokuwa upoko mazeti kiwasikani uo msemo minakata mana jua linapondaza nusina fadhali mikwangu ni mabala oh, oh, oh. Najitaji kumsinga mwani lila somo na nikata oh, oh. Sila kibata ana ya mwaka mafuta ta kutwa ni furuku nani furuku shani apaka hiki ranya ni umayani kwa nini sato na gomba ya sweet oh, jema gani nambie labda nitende kipi ata pakucheka hani yati utani kuna paniki naelewa riziki mafungu saba tatu machozi nikulia nilia na wewe sambona nilipa majonzi yani stressi mapombe mwenyewe wendo wangu Yesu mkombozi sambona Petro unaniacha mwenyewe nikose usingizi na njozi ndo furahi okesa tunataka nitukanwe ongeza ongeza
Papi show. me a the star, so me a no fan of you. Do what me wanna follow you. Me nah itch up under no man. In a 2020 slavery.
That was music from the continent, and we hope you enjoyed it. Nightline Africa comes to you on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC from the English service of the Voice of America. And from the rest of the Nightline team, Managing Editor Shaka Saleh, reporter Douglas Impuga, and producer Saida Hamdoun, we say a big thank you for joining us tonight. And remember, as the elders say, where there is honey, there are bound to be ants. I'm your host, Peter Clotte, in Washington. Good evening, Africa.